Hi, this is Daniel Garber of the Movies for CulturalMining.com and CIUT 89.5 FM. The 22nd annual Female Eye Film Festival starts on Wednesday in Toronto and runs through the weekend, showing short films, docs, and features all directed by women. Films come from as far away as Kyrgyzstan and as close as right here with CIUT's own Christian Hamilton short film, Just Grand, in the Thrills and Chills program. But this week I'm looking at three new movies, a romantic comedy, a drama, and a thriller horror, all about unexpected relationships. There's an Icelander in London with a crush on his boss's daughter. A divorcee in Pasadena who has a fling with her daughter's lover, and an FBI agent with a mysterious connection to a serial killer. Touch, co-written and directed by Baltasar Kormákur. It's early 2020 in Iceland. Kristofer, played by Egil Olafsson, is a restaurateur and choir singer approaching retirement. He's awaiting the results of a brain scan. And with rumors of an upcoming pandemic, his late wife's daughter warns him to shelter at home. But he is driven by a quest he has thought about for half a century. 50 years ago, the younger Kristofer, played by Palmi Kormákur, the director's son, is an earnest student at the London School of Economics. He's tall and skinny with blonde hair and a wispy beard. He's disgusted by the political indifference of his classmates. So he drops out of university and applies at the first help wanted sign he sees, which happens to be a small Japanese restaurant called Nippon, run by a plain-spoken man named Takahashi, played by Masahiro Motoki, or Mokun. And as he walks through the door, he catches sight of a beautiful young woman with pale skin and long black hair. Is it love at first sight? Her name is Miko, played by Kōki. She's Takashi's daughter, and she's dating a Japanese man. Beneath his gruff exterior, Takashi's a nice guy. He appreciates the fact Kristofer grew up beside the sea and worked on a fishing boat, but he's very protective of his only daughter for unspoken reasons. When Kristofer and Miko fall in love, they keep it a secret from Takahashi until the restaurant suddenly closes down and Miko completely disappears without a trace. Is she still alive and in London? Can he find her during a pandemic? And would she even remember who he is? Touch is an extremely moving, bittersweet drama that spans half a century. It alternately follows both the young Kristofer's first love in London in 1970 and the elderly Kristofer's search for Miko in 2020. It's based on an Icelandic bestseller and has a novelistic feel to it. I mean that positively. It also deals with prejudice, exclusion, biracial families, and historical wrongs. Touch is directed by Baltasar Kormákur, an underrated director, if there ever was one, who's made a series of successful mainstream action thrillers like Beast and Contraband, but this heartfelt drama is a cut above. And by the end, the tears were pouring down both sides of my face. Really good movie. Katie's Mom, co-written and directed by Terrell Schaffner. It's present day in Pasadena. Nancy, played by Dina Meyer, is bored, lonely, and angry. Bored because she's in her 40s and single again through no fault of her own. Sex is a distant memory. She thinks autoerotic stimulation means driving through a car wash twice. Lonely because her two oldest kids, Katie, played by Julia Tolchin, and Eli, played by Colin Bates, have moved out, and she only sees them on holiday. They seem to be getting closer to her divorced husband. And she's much too embarrassed to spend any time with friends now that she's divorced. And angry because her ex-husband, Morty, the plastic surgeon, dumped her for his much younger secretary, and now they're going to get married. So when both her kids show up for the Chrismica dinner, that's Christmas and Hanukkah on the same day, she finally feels things are getting better. But Katie has a surprise. She brought her new boyfriend, Alex, played by Aaron Dominguez, with her, and he needs a place to stay. Things become even more frustrating when she hears Katie and Alex having loud sex each night. She's ready to kick him out, but turns out Alex is a really nice guy. He cooks and he does the dishes without being asked. He's an architecture student and actually listens to what Nancy has to say. Most important, she finds him very attractive. And the feelings seem mutual, but of course she could never sleep with her daughter's boyfriend, could she? Or could she? And when her fantasies turn into reality, she doesn't know which way to turn. Who can she tell? Is this a one-time fling? And what will happen if Katie ever finds out? Katie's Mom is a light romantic comedy that's funny and cute. It's about a middle-aged woman's sexual awakening held back by familial obligations and social norms. It features a solid comic performance by Julia Tolchin and a charming Aaron Dominguez, but Dina Meyer, known for her smoking hot performance in Starship Troopers in 97, is still on fire 30 years later. Filmmaker compares it to The Graduate, but from Mrs. Robinson's point of view. I wouldn't go that far, and it's no spoiler to say Dustin Hoffman ain't storming no wedding doors here, but it's a fun intergenerational rom-com told from a much-needed female point of view. Long Legs, written and directed by Oz Perkins. It's the early 1990s. Lee Harker, played by Micah Monroe, is a rookie FBI agent, quiet and introspective, somewhere on the spectrum, the product of a Bible-thumping mom, played by Alicia Witt. She's one of many agents working on an open case involving a serial killer. The killer has slaughtered a large number of families over 2 decades, but he's very hard to profile. No witnesses, no photos, no fingerprints. The killer, nicknamed Longlegs, played by Nicolas Cage, has entered each of his murder sites unimpeded. And in every case, the killings, always involving a husband, a wife, and a young daughter, seem to have been done by the families themselves. And the killer always leaves a cryptic letter written in code behind. The agency has reason to believe another killing is imminent, but of all the agents, only Lee, on a hunch, is able to interrupt one of these ghoulish killings as it takes place. She is subjected to a battery of psychological tests. How does she know where to go? Is she psychic? Lee and her boss, Agent Carter, played by Blair Underwood, take over the case. She spends countless nights poring over files trying to connect the dots. And as she comes closer to tracking down Longlegs, her own long-hidden memories start coming back. Has she ever seen him in person? And if so, what did he look like? And can she stop the killings? Longlegs is a creepy and shocking thriller horror. It shares themes with Silence of the Lambs, a female FBI agent looking for a deranged killer, and Zodiac, the killer leaves notes written in abstract characters, but it differs from conventional horror movies with its art house production style. No typical jump scares or schlocky effects. The photography and light in this movie is so good with jagged angles and shapes. Many shots are lit by a single light source. Gives it this very scary feeling. She lives in a home that looks like a log cabin. Director Oz Perkins revisits his own past themes with inverted triangles and odd Illuminati symbols. Micah Monroe is excellent as the scared agent, and as is Alicia Witt as her religion-obsessed mom. And while a freakout scene by Nicolas Cage is nothing unusual, this one I think will stick in your mind for a long time. Though at times it verges on the ridiculous, I found Longlegs' suspense and scariness completely satisfying. Touch and Long Legs both open this weekend in Toronto. Check your local listings. Katie's Mom is the gala feature at the opening ceremony of FEFF at the TIFF Lightbox on next Thursday. This is Daniel Garber, the Movies, each Saturday morning on CIUT 89.5 FM and my website, culturalmining.com.